Okay, so if you guys got your Bibles, go ahead and open up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start there. I'm going to be popping around. I don't normally get to teach like this. It's not necessarily a topical. I'm more exhorting you guys through God's Word. Right now, youth group, we're in the book of Joshua. It's been amazing. I've been taking them through. We started in Genesis. We're all the way in Joshua. And on Wednesday, we started in John. We're all the way in Colossians now. So I'm taking the kids all the way through the Bible. I usually teach a chapter each week for the kids, but I'm excited to preach this. As Bill asked me to teach for him, I was just praying all week, okay, Lord, what do you want me to teach on? And usually kind of he gives me it throughout the week and just different events that are happening around us. And in lieu of us embarking on a new year and how crazy things have declined just in 1 year, think of all the craziness and the immorality that's happened in 2015. All the crazy shootings, the same-sex marriages. I mean, it's getting darker and darker. But guess what? We need to examine ourselves because we need to get brighter and brighter. Sometimes we start, God starts turning up the light, but we only get so far. But guys, we need to shine bright in this dark world because a lot of people, Jesus that people are going to see is through us. We need to be a reflection of Him, but we need to examine ourselves. We need to understand it's all for Christ, all or nothing. We need to step it up, and it's time to be real. I'm not legalistic. I'm very realistic. I'm living in a world we do not belong in. But it comes down to the power that we live is through the power of the Holy Spirit to look at these parable times. So that's what we're going to look at. As Paul is exhorting Timothy, a young pastor, one of the pastor epistles, in this perilous times and perilous men. Guys, we need to walk in wisdom. We need to have discernment. One of the greatest ways to do that is what? Prayer. Guys, we need to be on our knees. We need to be on our knees for our country, for our kids, our grandkids. I mean, I was talking to Marge when she got here, and this generation of kids, it's just so crazy how from five to 10 years ago, how worse it's gotten, how selfish they are. How it's like even parents are not stepping up and disciplining their kids the way that they should. We're accepting the way the world wants us to behave, and we shouldn't be like that. But we need to walk in wisdom. We need to understand the times that we live in. How many here has seen War Room yet? Two of us, War Room. It's a new movie out. It was number one in the box office in America, a Christian movie, when it came out, made the most money. It's amazing what God is doing. So I encourage you guys, if you've not seen it, go ahead and check it out. It just really shows the power of prayer. It was very well done. It kind of focuses on a married couple, but it kind of just unfolds of how this person, this lady, believes in Christ, and she meets this older lady, and she was just on fire. You know, and she just keeps yelling, raise them up, raise them up. Guys, we need to raise up. I don't care how young or how old we are, God still wants us to do our part. We're not done yet. We still need to be busy. We still need to reach more people for the kingdom of God before he comes. Yes, I want him to come back. I'm ready. But I tell you right now, God's not ready to come back because he wants more people in the kingdom. And that should be our heart. And facing the times where we're going to look right here, way back here, what Paul is exhorting Timothy, way back in the day, and we look at now how worse even now. So let's go ahead and look at the first nine verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is Paul speaking to Timothy. It says, know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brooder, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of good. Now check this out. This is the scary part too. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men corrupt minds. Disapprove concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will manifest to all, as theirs also was. Right here, Paul exhorts Timothy to continue in the gospel in the face of great increased evil. Guys, even when they're talking about we're living in the last days, I know Pastor Bill talks about it all the time. We are living in the last days. It's going to get worse before it gets any better. But we do need to pray for the church, that we need to be healthy enough to reach those who are sick. But at the same time, we need discernment, because there's some people, like it says right here, have a form of godliness. They're pretenders. They're counterfeit. They're not really of the family. And they're pulling people away. So many different denominations. I'm not talking smack on anybody, but there's so many New Age people who are letting their guard down, adding into scriptures to meet the needs of people to be okay with society. No, we need to stand our ground on what the Bible teaches. You know, as much as I'm pointing at you guys, Mark talked about this morning, four fingers are pointing at me. I'm in the same boat as you guys. I'm just trying to live my life for Christ and do my part while I'm still here. And I'm going to do it till my very last breath. And you guys know I don't have much of that. You know, I do want to praise God for all you guys for praying, because at this time last year, I was in the hospital. I was in the hospital for Christmas, got out, went right back in before New Year's. Within 6 months, I was in there six times. And praise God, I haven't been there all year. It's been rough, but not as rough, health-wise. But just being out and doing all these things, just looking at all my kids. When I refer to my kids, I'm not talking about the ones sitting here, because there's two of them right there. I'm talking about my youth group kids, my spiritual kids. I have about 30 of them that I know personally, and I love each of them that they were my own. But I just see what they're up against. And guys, as us older people who've been doing this for a while, we need to be there for them. And the best way you can do is be praying for them. You might not know their names, but you see they're wandering around being teenagers. Pray for them. You know, we need to be on our knees for one another. Pray for one another. Pray for discernment. It's not for me to judge a man's heart. That's the Lord's. But it is for me to have discernment if they're contradicting the Word of God, to be careful how much I'm involved with these people. Because a lot of people speak good game. They have the knowledge of the Scriptures, but they twist it for their own device. And you got to be careful, because that's what Paul was telling Timothy right here. And we got to be very, very, very careful. In the last days of time, that the first appearing of Christ until the second coming, people will be characterized by all kinds of self-centered and unnatural perversions. And we see that today. Some will maintain an outward pretense, speaking the vocabulary of a Christian, but refusing the reality that Christian faith expresses. The power they deny is the heart of Christianity, and that is the inspired Word of God, empowered, overflowing by God's Holy Spirit. Guys, we need to be in tune with the Spirit. We need to be careful. You know, we're not above of all the temptations as the kids and other people are. Satan's going to come after you just in different ways and different forms. He's very good at what he does, even though he's going to lose. But he wants, if he can't take our salvation, he wants to take our joy. I have so many Christians, so many people from teenagers to adults that feel like, you know what, it's so hard living in this world. I understand that, but they become numb. No, because that's what Satan wants. He wants you to become numb and useless. Maybe having salvation if you're truly his, but not experience the fullness of Christ, that joy and that personal relation that comes by an active relationship with God's Holy Spirit. We need to really know who we are in Christ. Each and every day, we need to ask the Lord to examine ourselves. Go before him on our knees in time of prayer as we get into the Word. Spend time with him. Talk to him like he's sitting right next to him. I love in War Room where the elderly lady, she's just talking to him like he's right there out loud. It's like, man, if you walk by the house, maybe you think Jesus is right there in the house with her. And you know what? Sometimes we need that, because you know what? When we audibly do it, it makes it more real. God wants a real relationship with you no matter what it takes or what it looks like. And no matter what, I'm not an evangelist. I can't evangelize. But the way that God uses me, I build relationships. And it's basically me getting into the Word and maintaining my relationship with him that shines the overflowing of the Holy Spirit. Fail. Turn your cell phones off. You brought that upon yourself, bro. I love that. What's interesting right here, perilous in verse 1 means difficult, hard to deal with, or dangerous. You're killing me, bro. But check this out. In perilous times, again, which means difficult, hard to deal with, or dangerous, how do we live for Christ in such terrible times? Well, the answer is in the Word of God. It's by faith in Jesus Christ as we celebrate the birth of this season. And this is such a great opportunity to share Jesus. I mean, we celebrate his birth and everything every day. At least I do. His birth, his death, his resurrection. I celebrate him every day. But this is a great opportunity where the focus is on him. What's so interesting is going in different stores and doing all these different things. Everyone's all, happy holidays. It's like that's the politically correct. No one says Merry Christmas anymore. But I go back, Merry Christmas, God bless you. And just some of the awkwardness and the stares that I get. You know, something as simple as that. Because some people, especially at stores, they're made to say that. They're not allowed to say Merry Christmas. So guess what? I'm going to say it anyways. Keep Jesus alive. The world is trying to take him out. I go to high schools and teach at their Bible clubs during lunch. And it's so dark on those campuses. I was at one high school. And we're waiting for the teacher to open up the classroom. And I'm like, hey, and this kid was talking about, hey, you want to pray? He goes, hey, Pastor Steve, we can't pray outside. We have to be inside. We'll get in trouble. I'm like, really? We're not allowed to pray outside the classroom. I did it anyways. But that's just so sad. But I love walking on the campus with my Bible, and people don't know what to think of me when I walk on there on the campus. The kids are just kind of staring at me. It's like, what's this guy about? And all of a sudden, I get them in the classroom, and I share Jesus with them. You know, and then, guys, a lot of you guys have seen a lot of crazy stuff by the time you've been here. Back in my day, you know, I'm only 44 years old, and it's so weird how things are so acceptable now than they were back in my day when I was growing up. Just imagine when you guys were growing up. Just, you know, the morals that you guys stood by now, they don't exist, you know? But we need to do our part as the church, as the body of Christ, to stand firm in what we believe in. Again, not in a legalistic way. Like I tell the kids, don't be something you're not. Don't be all these weird, crazy spiritual people and be fake. Be yourself in Christ. Be who God made you and shine bright. And the way to do that is develop it by the Word of God, to know the Word of God, to let the Word of God be a part of you, to come out of you, that overflowing from the Holy Spirit. And it's so important. Guys, but we should not be surprised, though, about all the craziness that's happened. We should expect it. Not accept it, but we should expect it because the Bible talks about it. You know, it says in Peter, it says, I'm paraphrasing very badly. Don't trip out on these things that you're going through, these fiery trials that you're facing. That's going to happen. But it's the testing of our faith. It's, you know, the genuineness of our relationship with God. And as we see, it's the test of time. The longevity. I see Pastor Mark and Pastor Bill that I just, you know, I look up to because I know they're the real deal. They're not perfect, but they're being perfected. And I'm attracted to that. And the longevity of all the stuff that they've gone through. I go through a lot of crazy stuff as a youth pastor. My goodness, I could write a book too. But just imagine what Pastor Mark goes through as a senior pastor. You know, we have our pastor's meetings every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, and I have my one-on-ones with him on 1:30 on Thursday, and man, he's the real deal, you know. And just the things that he's so encouraging, you know, the same mindset that we have, and the same goals that we want for this church and for the people who attend and the people in our lives. You know, Mark shared it this morning. He loves you guys sincerely. All of us pastors love you guys, love to be here, love to do what we do, but we do need to step it up a bit. We're facing a new year. Let's go out. Let's be called to arms and fight this battle, fight this war. You know, and the best thing to do is just live your life for Christ and let the overflowing Holy Spirit reflect Jesus. And then when he calls you to open your mouth, open your mouth. But I know I have some prayer warriors back there too. Keep praying. Do not stop. If you're not praying, guess what? Start praying. Because prayer moves mountains. It diffuses, it kills the enemy's the plans. Because I tell you now, God hears our prayers. And God loves his people. He'll answer them according to his time and his will. But sometimes we need to wait. You know, and I know she's going to get mad at me, but I waited 5 years to have my daughter back in my life the way that she is. She's shaking her head, I'm going to get it when we get home. But Pastor Mark and I have been praying years. And, you know, I made my mistakes as a dad. You know, and one thing is, God used my father that died in, what, May? Grandpa died in May. That brought our family back together. And one thing that she said that will never, ever leave me to this day, and I'm learning too, because I'm not perfect. I'm a knucklehead. I'm a big, giant kid. And I make a lot of mistakes as a dad, but she said, you know what? I just need my dad. I don't need a pastor. And that just spoke to me. And right now, God is building our relationship as my daughter and her dad, and, you know, and God knows what she needs and when she needs it. And that's my goal, is to pray for her, but that's God's plan for her. That's God's deal. It's like, I can pray for her, but that's God's going to take care of everyone in our lives. We pray, we keep praying. I was talking to Jerry in the back. You know, I've been praying for 5 years. Sometimes some of you guys are still praying for family members, for people in your life to come back, to give their lives to Christ, you know, or come back in your life to even have a relationship with them. But God is teaching us patience. And we're enduring in his sufferings, because sometimes it's a lot of suffering because we love these people so much. But one thing I've learned, you got to let go and let God do it, because I get in the way so much. I screw up so much, it's ridiculous. But I try to learn from my mistakes. I ask the Lord to give me discernment on living in these crazy times. Right here he's exhorting Timothy. In lieu of all this craziness and these false teachers coming in, having a form of godliness, but they're tricky people, they're counterfeits. We need to be aware of that. We need to be praying for these people. Not judging them and wanting them to go to hell. We want God to change their hearts. Because God loves them too. And sometimes I think we forget that. So easy to judge people. And it's so hard for me, like, I'll be honest, to go to Disneyland. I'm a people watcher. But all of a sudden I just start judging people. I'm like, oh, Lord, forgive me. It's the way people dress. And yeah, I'm like, oh, my goodness. Then I walk away convicted. Instead, my first instinct is to pass some type of judgment or stereotype. But God looks at them, he looks at their soul. He goes, I want that person. So what I'm trying to do, and I'm still working on it, is as the Lord has get those thoughts, to pray and revert them to praying for those people instead of judging them and looking down on them because they're not doing or they don't have what I have. Because our goal is for everyone else to have what we have. Amen? That's very important. That's the will of God. What's interesting, the person who is looking for some coming paradise on earth is destined to be disappointed. There's no paradise here. We're sojourners. We're pilgrims passing through on a world we do not belong in. And one day we'll be in paradise when we're with Jesus. So, if you're putting all your stock here on earth, you're going to be disappointed. Because it's nothing but disappointment. I mean, I can't even watch the news. I can't. You know, I was in the hospital. I mean, I can't sleep in the hospital anyways, but I don't sleep that much anyways. 3 o'clock in the morning, all there are, all these, some of them are all right, but there's a lot of false teachers. Infomercials that are ridiculous. And just news that just nothing but bad news. You know, everybody dying, all this stuff. It's like, I don't need to be reminded. I already know. It's good to, you know, be informed on certain things, and that's why we have Pastor Bill, and, you know, and I love K-Wave because they give me the hot spots on what I need to know for what I need to pray for. But we really need to know who we are in Christ, your personal relationship, the gifts that you have and what you are called to do and how you are called to live. To expect these parallel times is not to become a pessimist, but a realist. Right here, we need to note the emphasis on the wrong kind of love. Let's look at verses 2 through 4 in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. That's the wrong type of love. God's love is forgiving, full of grace and mercy, and unconditional. What I love about the God that I serve, he forgives and forgets. As far as the east from the west, it's like it didn't happen. And I love that. I don't deserve that. I deserve hell. But God loved me so much, as we know in John 3:16, so God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to understand and bank on the promises. Never let Scripture get old or cliche. Because it's the Word of God. It's living. I don't care how many times you've heard the same verse over and over. It should be life-giving. It should be encouraging. Like Pastor Mark said, it should be exciting when you read your Bible. If not, then ask the Lord. Let it become exciting again. Don't let your relationship with God grow cold. Go ahead and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And knowing the times that we're living in, go ahead and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 13. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And right here, Peter is calling us to step up, living before God and our Father. It says there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, that in your ignorance before you were saved, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Guys, we are not going to be perfected, but we're not being perfect, but we're being perfected if we live in the light of God's Holy Spirit. It's that sanctification process. It's God's divine nature in us, creating in us something beautiful, and that's himself. And that's who people need to see. And I see that more effective than I see people on the streets. You know, I'm very real, and I throw myself under a bus all the time. On Christmas, we've seen Alvin and the Chipmunks, very cute. We go every year. but we walked out, and this guy was out there on a mic, speaking, sharing about God, and unfortunately, there's a lot of bad raps of the people with their microphones, and some of them seem like they're very angry. Right when I heard him, the first thing in my mind, I questioned if he was legit or not. And this guy kind of looked like me, walked up to me, handed me a track. I looked at him, living water. That's great comfort. That was one of his guys out there preaching the gospel. And I'll tell you right now, usually on Christmas and Thanksgiving, the theaters are packed. Because once everyone's done eating up their gifts, they're bored, so they go to the movies. So that was perfect. But my first thing was to doubt and kind of prejudge that guy. And I got really convicted, and I had to pray. I even had to tell my wife, man, I feel really bad right now. You know, he's out there, super cold. Everybody's walking right past him, ignoring him. But they're out there preaching the Word of God. You know, but I didn't stay put. I prejudged. And God got me for that. You know, even if someone's out there and you don't know what their motives are, pray for them. Because you don't know their hearts. Only God knows. Yes, we'd have to have discernment. But as soon as God convicts us, speaks it to the Holy Spirit, we need to respond. But guys, we need to be sober-minded. We need to sober up in our minds and understand the days that we're living in. We need to be obedient. You know, so far in youth group, in Deuteronomy, and even in Joshua, it screams obedience. You see the children of Israel up and down. Why? Because of disobedience and their unbelief. When they set their minds on God and they're being obedient, they're doing good. But when they take their eyes off the Lord and they're disobedient, what happens? All hell breaks loose. We're out of the will of God. You know, Joshua, great man of God, but right after Jericho, great victory. A lot of times with great victory comes great temptation to start doing things yourself. Well, the next chapter, they were called to go battle Ai. And guess what? One man sinned. Achan did not. He said, go take Jericho, destroy everything, keep this gold, silver, and bronze, and bring it to the temple. Don't take anything. Well, the one guy coveted stuff, and he took and was disobedient, and it caused the whole nation to sin. And they lost. A battle that should have been easy peasy. Boom. They lost it. Joshua didn't pray. Then in the next chapter, They restored, they got the sin out of the camp, and guess what? They had victory. And then Satan comes in. All the existing neighbors around them, all the other kings and stuff, were very afraid of them. So what they did is they were trying to get together to come against Israel, but knowing that, you know what, God is with them, so they're not going to win. So what they did is they pretended to be people that lived far, far away. You guys remember the story where they pretended to be far away, and they had a really good plan. They made everything look old, the food, their wineskins, all this stuff. And they came, and guess what? They deceived them. Why? They did not. Joshua and the elders did not go get counsel from the Lord. And they missed an opportunity to win that battle. God used it, though. God raised them. They became slaves and stuff like that. You know, kind of like, you know, when we do things on our own and God reroutes us and, you know, the detour back to where he wants us to be. But there's always those bumps and bruises when we're outside of the will of God. We need our conduct to exemplify the Word of God in the way God created you. So many people, because I'm a youth pastor, and expect these kids to do all these things. They're kids. I'm not making excuses, but they're teenagers. How dumb were we when we were teenagers? They got to learn. They have to make mistakes, or they're not going to learn. But we need to be there to help pick them up and dust them off as the Lord does and pray for them. But it's so easy to get disappointed on this generation, because I struggle with it. They're crazy, man. I mean, I was telling Marge, one of the biggest battles we have after church is where we're going to eat, because everyone's so picky. Man, just back in the day when I got to go out to eat, man, I was excited. I got to go to McDonald's. I didn't care. I don't like that. Oh, that's disgusting. No. It's like, you know what? Go home and eat. You know, we're so selfish. We're so unthankful. What we need to do is, but how easy is it to fall in that trap? Because I've done it. I get frustrated with them. It's like, well, no, I don't want to go there. I want to go here. You know? We need to bring the Lord into everything and to be those peacemakers and just really be that example these kids need and everyone around us. But so it's interesting right here, as I shared, is the sanctification process. The holy nature of God is the motivation for Christian holiness. I'm going to share that again. The holy nature of God, God in us, is the motivation for Christian holiness. It's through God's word and through the power of his Holy Spirit. It's God's divine nature in us. Let's go ahead and look at verse 17. And if you are called on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time you stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received with tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as the Lamb without blemish, without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but he was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now here's the important part, verse 22 and 23. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love for the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not by corruptible seed, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Guys, this new birth should bring inner purity, which manifests in love for fellow believers. I think the best thing that we can do as Christians is show sincere love to one another. That breaks down walls, man. When people see you with no motive, all just randomly showing love, even when they don't deserve it, it just does magnificent things. You know, when these kids, and I just go out of my way just to show them God's love, I don't have to. They don't deserve it. But God puts it on my heart to do these certain things. Not that I'm such a great guy. Because the charitable ministry is a ministry of inconvenience. A lot of times we don't want to do it. The Holy Spirit's kind of kicking us saying, hey, go do this. Go plant some seeds. Go sow into people and see what I'm going to do and see what kind of fruit's going to be produced. Oh, cool, I got a half hour. I want to read something from my Bible. That's really cool. Regarding to verse 23, how important the Word of God is, because it's the enduring Word of God. But it says, just as we owe our natural existence to the Creator's spoken word in life, giving birth, so we owe our new birth to the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit's activation of its power. God's intent for our created being is not only completely fulfilled when our spirits are alive towards Him, as sin has produced spiritual death in people, so salvation in Jesus Christ has provided spiritual life. We know this. This text tells us that the seed that has produced new life is in the Word of God, in us, which has begotten us again by the Holy Spirit's power and made us members of God's new creation. The power of God's Word and the Holy Scriptures is in no way more magnificent than this. It's the power of bringing spiritual life to all who open to its truth. James 1:18 elaborates that the fact of God's word of truth is the means by which we brought us new life, that He brought us new life, emphasizing that He has done this as a direction of His own will. God's will to save us has been effectively expressed in His word, which accomplishes that work. You guys understand how important God's word is? To understand God's will, to have that personal, intimate relationship with Him and develop it. Because guys, Pastor Mark talked about it, and sometimes this is a danger as we get older and we just kind of get lukewarm or stale. Sometimes we start backing up and we put ourselves in different, back in the chains of certain things that we've been delivered from. It could be actions, attitudes. It could be, you know, vices, addictions, whatever it is. I've seen people going for years and then all of a sudden they just got nailed, and all of a sudden they just kind of took their eyes off the Lord and they're back into things they just shouldn't be doing. And they're being ineffective. We're all in that danger if we don't stay focused. Satan, again, if he can't take away salvation, he's going to try to take everything away from you. He wants you to be a miserable Christian. And it's, unfortunately, I know, and it's kind of odd saying that, but I know Christians that aren't happy. Because they're not full of God's joy. Who knows? Okay, here's a youth group thing. Pastor Mark always shares it when he does retreats. What's the acronym of joy? Do you guys know? Jesus, others, yourself. Got to remember that. That's what brings true joy. Focusing not on ourselves, but on other people. We're at the bottom of the totem pole. When I'm sick and going through it, what helps me out the most, when I get those stinkers, those kids that drive me nuts, text me and ask for prayer. It takes my focus off me and puts it on, and I'm doing what God's called me to do, and it brings me joy. It brings me back to reality when people hit me up about a Bible question. I mean, I can barely breathe, and all of a sudden I get a text message. I kind of roll over, answer it, and all of a sudden God just restores my joy. Because I'm not focusing on what I'm going through anymore. I'm not just me, 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 and all worries me. And yeah, we go through hard times. I'm not going to make light of that. But God is with you. God's going to help you through all this. But when you take your focus off yourself and put it on others, Jesus first and others, then that joy is restored. Even through the hardest, craziest times, you can have that joy and that peace. Mark talked about it. It talks about it in Philippians chapter 4, I think verses 18 and 19. Said, meditate on these things, whatever's holy, whatever's noble, whatever's good. Meditate on these things. Meditate on the good things. There's so much negative out there in this world. But if you focus on that so much, then you're just, that Satan's going to use that to take your eyes off the Lord. And you're going to start getting bitter and judgmental and ineffective. It is what it is. You know what? Only God can change what He wants to change and use us in the process if He sees that's what He wants to do. If not, He's in control. We're not. We need to do our part by praying, getting into Word, letting His promises overflow through us into other people. But He's in control. A lot of times we're taking the reins. You know, and I shared this with youth group on Wednesday. A lot of us have a backseat Jesus. What does that mean, Pastor Steve? A lot of times when we're going through it, or we want something, we pray, we ask for prayer. And God delivers it and gives us what we want or answers our prayer, and then He gets popped back in the backseat again. He's not the controlling force of that person in our life anymore. We get what we want, we throw him in the backseat, or we toss him in the closet and lock the door. We're all guilty of that at times. The Bible says we can do nothing without him. John chapter 15. We need to abide in him, abide in the vine, the Bible says. But it's so easy to get distracted by all the trials that we face and go through. But we got to understand the times that we're living in. Understand why it's happening through the Word of God. And I know Bill does a great job of equipping you guys with that. And with the current events and how it ties in to what's going on, how prophecy is being fulfilled even as we speak. But it points to what? Our hope that Jesus is coming back soon. And that should be our main focus. Because one day we're going to be out of here. We will be in paradise. And we will no longer be in a place that we do not belong. And we'll be chilling with the Lord. Just, oh my goodness, I can't wait. I have so many questions. Man, I'm very excited. But we should all be excited. We should be excited in an expectation to see the Lord moving, even in a world that's so corrupt and evil as we see today. Because God's still alive and well. He's allowing things to happen for whatever reason. The Bible says that his ways are not our ways. He doesn't think like us. Praise God for that. But we got to trust him. It's all about trusting him, guys. And if you trust him, then you'll be obedient. We need to be obedient to his word. Because if we're obedient to his word, then we will prosper. We'll be where God wants us to be. And we will experience that fullness of Christ. As we look at these scriptures, as we've seen Paul exhort Timothy, as we're living in the last days, and how bad it is, and how bad people are getting, and how selfish everybody is, and as we're called to gird up our loins and be sober-minded, and not going back to the way that we used to be, but moving forward, we need to stop and reflect each and every day of where we're at, where we need to be. It's an everyday process. I do mine in the shower because I love when the water just hit me on the head and I just find that place, and that's where I do my prayer time. I just confess everything. Then I'm thankful for everything, and I start praying for everybody. Then I start examining. Okay, Lord, I take it as every day is a test. You know, and God shows grace because every day he allows me to pass. But he shows me as I really reel with him. And Lord, show me where I can step it up. Show me the mistakes I made that I can rectify them and then do better the next day. I want to learn from the mistakes. I don't want to continue in them. But that's the sincerity of really wanting what God wants you to have. And that's that personal, intimate relationship with him that he desires to have with you. But the ball's in our court. He's not going to make you do it. He wants you to give effort in developing this relationship by disciplining yourself, by reading the Word of God, by not conforming yourselves, to not getting so caught up in the things of this world, because the things of this world are very enticing, very distracting, so easy to fall into, and you don't even realize you're doing it. That's why I need to be in the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit's all of a sudden got that giant spiritual stuff saying, stop, stop, stop. Go back, don't walk. You know, I love those signs. Don't walk, don't walk. Holy Spirit's like, stop, don't walk, go back. Run, run to me. We need to have that type of relationship and that type of attitude. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Because guess what? He gave us his all on the cross. He held nothing back. And he said, it is finished. We just need to abide in him and let him be the driver of our life. Not shotgun, not in the back seat. He needs to be driving. He needs to be directing our steps through the power of the Holy Spirit as we look to him through the perfect will of God. But as we do this, as we stop and reflect, we need to go back and really understand what this is all about. And turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And I use this a lot, and this is almost like a theme verse for me in my life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Knowing these things, stepping it up. The one thing we need to do, we need to walk in love. Amen? Jesus did nothing but walk in love. Everything he did was motivated by the Father's love for us. And right here in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, be imitators of God, dear children, and walk in love, for Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be named among you, as it is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, and Pastor Mark talked about that today, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Guys, it's one thing to struggle with sin, it's one thing practicing it. You know, newsflash, Christians, people in the congregation, we sin every day. But by God's grace, He covers us. Sometimes it's in ignorance, but we don't practice it. If we're practicing it, then there's a problem. If it's habitual, then maybe we're not who we think we are. And I tell the kids that all the time because they get confused. You know, they're hearing one person, another person, and they read scripture and they read out of context, and then Satan just takes it and runs with it. We need to be the people to show the reflection of God and Jesus Christ by the imitators of His love. Practical ways. And even in drastic ways, because drastic times, man, drastic measures. We're living in the last times where Satan is just plucking people out, man, out of the church. And we need God to restore the church and restore His people. And He wants to use us. He wants us to reach the lost. You guys know that there's a lot of people that come to church that are not saved. You know Satan comes to church? You know what I'm saying? So what we need to do, we need to be on guard. Not walking on eggshells, and not prideful, but humbly, with His boldness through His Holy Spirit, through empowering, through the Holy Spirit, His Word in our lives to be effective. But one thing that we need to do, be yourself. Be who you are in Christ. I see so many times we try to be, I've done it, you know, many times, try to be something I'm not. When I first started here, and everyone just with the pressure, you know, wearing the crazy Hawaiian shirts, I tried that one time, it don't work for me. Kids thought I was stupid. I'm like, what are you doing? You try to be Pastor Mark? I even tried to glean way too much and try to teach like him. And the kid's like, no, be yourself. The kids nailed me way back in the day. And just taught me a lesson. I'm not Pastor Mark. I'm Pastor Steve. Influenced and empowered by God's Holy Spirit and the anointing He's given me to do the job that He's called me to do. And it's the best job that I could ever have. Never thought I'd be doing this. And I always tell the kids when it came to public speaking and doing like the oral reports in high school, I ditched that day. I'd take an F. Forget that noise. You know, the joke's on me though. I do it for a living now. But guys, when we're used of God in any way, shape, or form, it is a miracle. It is amazing. We need to look at it that way. We need to be blessed by the little things. It doesn't have to be these astronomical things. If you just get a sweet conversation and plant a sweet seed with somebody, be joyful, because you don't know what God's going to do with it. I get phone calls and text messages from kids I haven't heard in years that thank you for never giving up on me. I'm married, I have kids, and I'm attending a church, and it seems like everybody's in Colorado, especially from our church. I don't know why. But it just, that's what keeps me going. When you know you're being used by God, it outweighs all the garbage we go through, guys. You know, it's difficult times, and being a Christian is not an easy thing, but it's worth every minute, and all the roller coasters, all the heartache. And as a youth pastor, a lot of drama. But you know what? You just kind of love them through it and just be on guard and make sure you don't get caught up in the mess. And learn from all these different people in your lives. I've learned so much from all the kids that passed through that door in the back. It's made me who I am today. You guys praying for me, Pastor Mark, Pastor Bill, accepting me as one of their own. For the longest time, I just felt like the stupid little youth pastor just got me for, you know, just to bring some spice, because I'm weird. But I'm one of the guys, man. You know, and you guys accepted me wholeheartedly, and I really appreciate that. Knowing that when I'm sick and you guys praying for me, when I come in here and you guys sincerely care about my well-being, that does wonders. I walk into this building, I feel so much love, it's ridiculous. You know, different churches, different Calvaries, or different ways, but we're a family here. And I love this environment. You know, it's family. I feel the love. Mark just loves that. You know, we need to keep that and build on that family. But we need to walk in love. We need not to get caught up in these things of this world. We need to walk in God's light. In verse 8, it says, "Once you were darkness, but now you are children in the light. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all godliness, goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed be manifest in the light, forever makes manifest the light. Therefore he says, wake, you sleep, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Verse 15, we need to walk in wisdom. "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Guys, a gift of the Spirit is discernment. We need to have discernment. We need to be praying about these things because Satan is the great deceiver, and he uses other people to deceive us. We see that through the whole Testament. How the children, look at it, Eve was deceived by Satan. And how many times in one day are we deceived? Because we're not bringing it before the Lord and asking direction from him. And you know what? It shouldn't be that far-fetched. I can't. My brain never stops. You know, I don't have that switch like some of you guys can turn it on, turn it off, where you can turn off your day at work and go to sleep. Man, it takes me forever to wind down. But my where it says pray without ceasing, I'm always thinking about the things of the Lord. You know, everything connects with him. He's everything. If I didn't have him, I wouldn't have anything. He is my breath, literally. You know, he's my what gets me up in the morning and continues to do crazy stuff for a crazy world and for crazy kids. So Terry and I, how many here, you know, ever had teenagers in your life? You know what I'm talking about. They're not easy to deal with. But I'll tell you, I know, huh? Shocker. But I'll tell you now, they're worth every minute because they are the future. They're the next generation. Until the Lord tarries and when he comes back, you know, we need to invest time in challenging them, being witnesses to them, being a reflection of Christ for them, being imitators of God, walking in wisdom, walking in love, walking in God's light. And we cannot give up. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13 real quick. Romans chapter 13, starting with verse 11. That we need to put on Christ every day. And it says in Ephesians chapter 6, we need to put on the full armor of God, right? And the way Paul describes, you know, the Roman guard that they used for the soldiers, they made sure every place was completely protected. And guys, if we're going to go out in this world and think we're going to win each battle that's connected to this war we're facing and not being prepared, guess what? You're going to lose that battle that day. You're going to feel defeated. You know, one thing I tell the kids, because they're still learning and trying to figure this out and dealing with all their emotions, but if you come to church and you walk out of here discouraged, that's the enemy. That's not God. No matter if you're convicted or God's dealing with you, you walk out of here with joy and a recharge of his love, because the things that you're going through, he's trying to teach you. If you walk out of here discouraged, that's the enemy. Don't listen to him. He wants you out here, "Oh, I'm horrible. I can't believe I'm a Christian." That's not of God. That's demonic. God wants you to walk out of here. You know what? Forgive and forget. That's what he does. Confess it. Give it to me. Then you walk out of here. What did you say? It's white as snow. You're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. But just because we can't always see him doesn't mean he's not there. He's with us right now. Wherever you go, God is with you. Whatever you're doing, good, bad, or ugly, he's with you. We need to remember that. You know what? I have a lot of flaws, and if you interviewed these three people right here, they would tell you. You know, I am the same way that I am at church and at home. I'm a little crazier at home. You know, I let my hair down, even though I don't have hair. But I'm me. But I'm me in Christ. I want to encourage you guys, when you interact with people in your family, be genuine, especially when you're reaching the younger generation, because they don't like fake people. Be real. Be who you are. Let them see your mistakes, because we're not perfect, but we're being perfected. And you know what? People respect that. You know, I got a few minutes. I'm going to share a story. way back in the day, was, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, Josh. My health was really bad at one time, and they came, my kids always gone to school here. They came back to school night, and I was really sick. They came home, and I stopped breathing. I was blue. Shannon called 911. They had to rush me to the hospital. I couldn't breathe. Silas seen that, and it did something to him. For months, he was freaked out. I couldn't even leave the school. Like, if he knew I was gone, he would rush out to the car, or he would cry until Shannon brought him home. James, Pastor Mark's son, was the pastor here. He had to spend a lot of time or call me back. We actually had to get him a cell phone when he was before junior high, just so he felt like something's going to happen to me so he can call me so he can stay in school. It was that bad. Well, one day I blew it completely. I was going to the store, and Josh is my spiritual sandpaper, and I love him with all my heart. He's like my son. But he likes to push my buttons. And he really means no harm, but sometimes I want to kick him in the face out of love. He's like, whoa. But at that time, Silas was like freaked out that I was leaving to the store. It was raining. I had my whole house was full of youth. I had the youth group at my house. I had at least 10 kids at my house. Driving to the store, he thought it'd be a good idea to lock Silas out of the house. So I see my son out in the street running after my car in the rain, crying. I snapped. Walked in the house, slammed the door. Man, you can hear nothing, pin drop. And I scared almost every kid, except for Josh. He wasn't scared, of course. He thought it was funny. But none of the kids have ever seen me get that angry. I was fuming. And then for like a week, I felt so bad. Mark had to come to me and tell me, hey, man, you blew it. Praise God. They see that you're human. And they're going to respect you more. You're not perfect. But the one that's perfect is Jesus in you. I repented. I said sorry. But that day forward, the kids knew that I was real, that I was human just like them. And they showed more grace when I did blow it. A lot of times, people put us on pedestals. I don't want to be on no pedestal just because I'm a pastor. No. I will let you down like the next person. Not on purpose, but it's going to happen. I'm going to get angry. And we should not judge or hold that against people. We need to love people through this. To be genuine. Walking in that love. We need to die to our flesh. And right here, we need to put on Christ. And verse 11 of Romans chapter 13, it says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, cast off all works of darkness, and let's put on the full armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Every day we need to do that. Go with me very quickly and turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. And to do what Romans just talked about, same author, Paul, says right here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, we need to walk in the Spirit. And he says in verse 16 of chapter 5, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Well, over in chapter 7 of Romans, Paul says, you know, the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing, and the things I want to do, I don't. That's that spiritual warfare that's worn inside of our lives. But you need to respond to the Spirit when He's speaking to you, even after you blow it. First thing that I did, I apologized to every single person in that house. You know, and then I was like, I feel horrible. Because I really scared some of them. You know, now it's a big joke now. Thanks, Josh. But you know what? We need people like that in my life. You know, Josh gives my life very spicy in a very interesting way. I love him to death. You know, he's like our son that we never had, except for Silas. Well, Mike, because it's an ongoing joke. It's like he has his moments, then he bails, and he comes back, and my wife sees him. Oh, my long-lost son. Shannon loves him more than she loves me. She's nicer to you. But cherish the people in your life. Even the ones that love to push your buttons, trying to get a rise out of you. God put them there for a purpose. You know what I'm saying? But no matter what, we need to be a reflection. We need to not get in the flesh. And the flesh is that sinful nature that's so easy to get annoyed and just shut down and not want to deal with people anymore. How many times have you guys got so annoyed with a person you don't answer the calls or return their texts? You didn't have to raise your hand, but yeah. Here's the first one. You know what I'm saying? What about, well, you know, no matter where their heart's at, what about the missed opportunity when you don't respond to that text or that call? You never know. But you need to pray. Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to call this person back? Do you want me to text them? Pray about everything the Bible says. Everything. Where did I stop off at? Verse 17. Let's continue. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. Real quick, and I'm not looking for the super spiritual answer. What is an idol? I taught the kids this. Anyone want to take a shot at it? Pastor Mark was talking about it. Back in the day, they had the graven images and all this stuff. But today, what is an idol? Anything that comes before God. He was talking about his car when he first got it. You know, he hit the pole and made a big old dent. And he was so devastated about it. Cars, people, things, emotions can become idols in our lives. And sometimes we don't even realize unless we really sit at God's feet and examine where we're at and what's getting in the way of our relationship. Because I tell you now, I don't know about you guys, but if I'm living, going out through my day, I just know I feel off. I just feel off. And it's just something I'm quenching the Holy Spirit. I'm not responding. But I just kind of stop. Okay, Lord, what's going on, man? I don't like this. I don't like the way I feel. I can't focus. I'm overthinking. I'm being anxious. What's going on? And then guess what he shows me? First of all, he comes upon me. His promises, he gives me peace. It says, be anxious for nothing. By prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And he'll give you that peace that surpasses. He's not a liar, and he fulfills his promises. We got to take him and own them and be obedient to his word. I got a couple minutes. I still have a lot of verses, but I think you guys kind of get the gist of this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're called to be ambassadors, Paul says. By knowing the times that we are living, by living the life we're called to live and being aware of it, walking in love, then guess what? We should be a testimony unto him. It talks about we need to be ambassadors. And what did Jesus tell the disciples before he ascended into heaven? The Great Commission. Go out. Spread the word. Make disciples. But I'll tell you right now, in this day and age, I've noticed, it's by showing God's love in a practical way. Building relationships. Showing, you know, being open to people. And being honest with people. You know what? 30% is this. 70% is keeping our mouths shut and letting the Lord just work through us. Just shining bright for him. Sometimes I say things that I shouldn't say. What I want to do in the last couple minutes, I want to pray. And give you guys an opportunity to also, it's called corporate prayer. I know Pastor Mark's done this in the past. I'm going to do a prayer and I'm going to be silent. If you guys feel led to pray in any way, go ahead. Pray for someone. Get right. Confess. Whatever it is. Let's do it. We're the body of Christ. Amen? We shouldn't be ashamed of anything. And I'll get the ball rolling. Father, I come before you, Lord, and I ask forgiveness of my sins. Lord, I pray that you would help me be a better witness to the youth that are in my life. That I would genuinely show your love, that I would be the father that I need to my kids. to help them, Lord, with without complaining. The Bible says we need to do everything without complaining and disputing. Lord, and sometimes I complain a lot. Help me in that area. Help me sometimes with my anger, Lord, and my sarcasm. Things that may not bring glory to you. Lord, help me to just let you take over. Lord, that I would let you be driving my life, Lord. That you'd be guiding my life through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, in understanding the times that we live in as we're embarking on a new year, I want to be closer to you this new year than I was this last year. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, help me to be obedient to it. So, Lord, I just surrender my life over to you once again and rededicate it to you. I give you everything. Work in me and through me. And I give this all to you in Jesus' name. And if any of you guys feel led, go ahead and pray. I'll be quiet for a minute, and then I'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your holy word and for your Holy Spirit. Pray, Lord, as the Spirit is speaking, Lord, we have those spiritual ears to listen and that spiritual mind to be obedient. Lord, we do lift up Pastor Mark and Pastor Bill and all the pastors, Lord, who are here, that you would just continue, Lord, to give them good health. Give them your wisdom, your peace, and your strength to do what you've called them to do. We thank you for Calvary Chapel Anaheim. Thank you for making this a home for a lot of us, Lord. We thank you for all the Bible-teaching churches that is proclaiming your Son, Jesus Christ, and teaching your scriptures, Lord, uncompromised. So, Lord, help us, as we hear your word, we would go home and we would continue that by meditating on you day and night, meditating on your scriptures, having that personal, intimate relationship you long to have with us. And, Lord, help us to see the distractions or maybe us going places we shouldn't go or getting distracted to a point that we don't even realize we're distracted because the enemy is very, very shrewd. Lord, give us discernment. Give us those spiritual eyes to see the deceptions that are always among us and at our door. So Lord, thank you for this time that you allowed us to be here together. We do pray, Lord, for this new year. Even though this craziness is going on, Lord, you're still in control. And Lord, as my sister prayed, Lord, we do pray for our nation. We pray, Lord, that you would bring revival, that more people would come into the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, that they would give their lives over to you. And Lord, as you are preparing to receive your church, Lord, that we would be ready, expecting, Lord, for your return to continue to give us that hope of eternal life. But Lord, help us not to be selfish with it and not do anything with it. But Lord, help us, as your word is alive, Lord, help us to be alive, to be able to share that with those who are in our lives through speech or just the reflection of the overflowing of you in our lives. So Lord, we give you the remainder of this night, Lord. We give you this week. And we thank you so much for loving us as much as you do. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. It's always good hanging out with you guys.